On page 32 in the Maamar Hador. It's already Erev Pesach, and all Rav Kook is talking about what it means to be a Ben Chayin, what it means to be somebody who's free. Not just an individual who's free, but that the Jewish people should be finally free. And freedom, the freedom that Rav Kook is talking about, is that a Jewish person, not that the Jewish people, should be able to rise above a life of being constantly at war with oneself, at war with each other, at war with other people, and so on. Milchama is one way of serving Hashem, and it's a very noble way of serving Hashem. But the lays brayer, if one doesn't have a choice, of course he spends his entire life fighting off all the goblins and demons and monsters, which are enclosed in the lays essays, all the rices, all the rabbanim, trying to fight against everything that's wrong, trying to fight against words that are inappropriate, thoughts that are inappropriate, and certainly actions that are not acceptable. Fighting, which is a gewaldige thing. A Jew is a fighter. He's a lochem, he's a kovesh. It's a choshev thing. But the tachlis, Rav Kook says, the tachlis of a Jewish person, the tachlis of a Jewish person is to be a ben chayrin. To be a ben chayrin means to live a life of idealism that takes him to a place where he doesn't have to be every single second engaged in hand-to-hand warfare. He doesn't have to be in that battle. He's in a world of chayrus. A world of chayrus is a world of simcha, is a world of joy. But a person doesn't have to look over his shoulder every second with his past chasing him, and every single tumah, every single taiva running after him, where a person's already wearing what he calls a teres zahav mezukak al roshay. It only comes, Rav Kook says, from a tremendous shift in the generation's way of thinking. And he saw the new generation, young generation, even though they're very embedded in physical matters, he saw the idealism of the new generation as the garin, as the seed of a new way of life. Whereas the old generation was looking down on the new generation, that they're balei taiva and they're doing this and they're doing that. But Rav Kook saw in the new generation, in that idealism of the generation, he saw the potential of a tremendous, tremendous shift in the entire way of thinking, in not being weak and bent over and afraid, which would affect everything in our life as a people and the life of every individual. This is the idealism that Rav Kook admired in the young generation, with all of the averis and taivis and problems, with all of the mishagas and things. But the idealism and the gevura that he saw in the young generation was something that he believed was authentically Jewish. It was authentically Jewish. It was very, very real. The old generation saw it as being something that's not Jewish. And Rav Kook disagreed. And the entire time he was in Eretz Yisrael, even before Eretz Yisrael, but especially all the years in Eretz Yisrael, he was fighting for this. You know, it's good to see the little introduction. It's a nice little introduction to this next paragraph. Look on page 32 on the left side on the bottom. You have a note on the left side. You see that? Let's just read that. It'll help us move into the next piece in the Maamar. Ha'idealim ha'yosin yisayim. Shtei ha'ashkafas olam le'chomis zubazu. There are two hashkafas that are at war with each other, that are fighting with each other. Two hashkafas, two ways to live, two ways to think. Hashkafa ha-idealistis, idealistic, and hashkafa ha-materialistis, materialistic. Continues on the next page, on the left side. Hashkafa ha-idealistis, menicha shemachayra ha-hofos ha-chitzanis. That hashkafa that's idealistic, the hashkafa of idealism, of course, understands that ma'achorei ha'hafos ha'chitzanias, that behind, within the external, within the hafos, those things that appear, that materialize on the outside, Gam elo haniros mekanios vechumrios. Even those are the things that seem mechanical and very, very physical. Mistatros ideos ruchanios. There are hidden great spiritual ideas and great spiritual ideals. A human being is not an animal. And even when he behaves like an animal, and what we see in his life, we see certain things that do not appear on the surface to be worth emulating. Nevertheless, this hashkof of idealism, which is very much connected to the whole Teres HaBal Shem, is to be able to detect where does this ahava come from. We've spoken about this thousands of times, that if this bocher is running after a bachuret, bachura, and he's meshugah, he's chalishing to have a connection to a young lady. So that's midah of ahava, the midah of love, that which he's longing for, that he shouldn't be alone, that he should feel companionship, that he should be able to give to someone and to do for somebody, to be able to have a kesher. All of that is the Ratzon Hashem. The problem with him, of course, is that he's 16 years old and he shouldn't be doing that with a girl right now. But as far as the sherish of it, the sherish is ahava, is chesed, the sherish is very pure, it's very holy. An idealistic person would look at that and be very impressed. At the same time, we try to have a conversation with the guy and to talk to him about what he could do in the meantime until he's ready to get married. But even though on the outside, in his external behavior, it's something which it's this ahava is completely inappropriate, but it's an ahava in the fool. It's the midah of ahava. It's the midah of chesed. It's one of the spheres al yonis that is in a place that's not a good place. It's being used in an inappropriate way. But the sherish of it is very, very good. So the idealist is always trying to understand, what's the sherish of everything? Where does this come from? Why is the person acting this way? And even though on the outside it looks like something which is empty, even to the person himself, he doesn't feel anything spiritual, doesn't sense any spirituality within himself. But the idealist is the one who tries to see reality from the perspective of the sherish, of what's behind everything, of what's inside of everything. That's the hashkafi idealistis. Even it seems mechanical, even those things that seem just mechanical or physical. Mistatrois ideos ruchanios. There are spiritual ideas. There's something spiritual. There's something spiritual beneath the exterior surface. Vairotzen hamachshava hamusar vaharuchnius. This way of thinking, the hashkafa ha-idealistis, this way of thinking assumes that within the person, rotzen and machshava, musa, ruchnias, these are all natural. All of these wonderful kaychas are the natural traits of a ben Yisrael. Ruchnius and Rotzen, and Machshava and Musa and so on. Hem tivyuso hapnimis shel ha'adam. It's a way of looking at a person. That all of these wonderful things are the tivyuso hapnimis shel ha'adam, are the natural instincts of a person. These are the natural instincts of a person. And of course, therefore the approach of the idealist is how do we draw out these natural instincts? They're there. And for what we see in his life, how do we refine and help him to mold and to refine his behavior, and to connect to the natural ideals, the natural instincts of Musa, of Ruchnius, of Kedusha, that are natural in a person. It's a way of looking at a person. It's a way of looking at people. It's a way of looking at everything. Harav ma'ameitz, and of course, this is the tamsis hanefesh, the essence of Rav Kook, and how he saw everybody and saw everything. The way that he looked at the world bechlal, not only Jews, though he looked at even the way he looked at goyim. Of course, with a major difference between a Yehudi and an Yehudi, but it's a perspective, it's a hashkafa for the materialists. The materialists measure the person I measure the culture, the people, by the metzius of what's taking place, of what's going on. Harav ma'ametz ki karon es hagisha ha'idealistis. The Rav, of course, was pushing and supported this approach of idealism. Toch shehu roa ba'asamas rotzen ha'odom l'rotzen kainai. B'sheifas ha'harmonia v'ha'achdus ha'kolelis es ha'idealim ha'yosin yisovs. Kishe ha'rotzen v'asechel ha'noshim isra'imu. V'shoyefim li'idabik v'mekor ha'sechel ha'rotzen. Heimimatsimis maximum ha'yicholos ha'sichlis v'haritzainis. He's explaining that Rav Kook saw, Rav Kook understood, that when the rotzen of a human being becomes aligned with the rotzen of Hashem Yisbarach, b'sheifas ha'harmonia v'ha'achdus ha'kololos. Now remember what we were learning about earlier in the Maimer. Rav Kook saw, even in something like communism, socialism and communism, Rav Kook saw the Gaon was very, very holy. Jews could no longer tolerate being separated. They couldn't bear living a life of Golos. Life in Golos meant, as we were learning a lot throughout the Maimer, life in Golos meant separate kehilas and separate everything, each one looking out for his own survival. Yeshnai am echad mefuzum v'far ben hamim is a life of Golos. Yeshnai am echad is the true metzius of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, as a people in Eretz Yisrael, is our true metzius. And therefore, the that sheifa that the generation had, Rav Kook saw in the generation, the sheifa is a harmonia v'ha'achdus ha'kolelis, that there should be this achdus and harmony, that there should be such a thing. He saw in this as ha'idealim ha'yosin yisoyim. He saw in this the most exalted idealism. This was the most exalted thing for Jews to want to be connected to one another, for Jews to be joined to one another. Therefore, in all of those movements where everybody know the old yeshuv and all the old, everybody was screaming and yelling, there's shkotzim and apikosim and rishoyim. They were rishoyim in terms of how they conducted their lives, the Bundistim and the secular Zionists and so on, and the Yiddishists. They lived lives separated from Torah mitzvahs, but they were on fire. They were on fire with Am Yisrael, and they were on fire with Eretz Yisrael. Mamish on fire with Am Yisrael and with Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook, being the idealist, saw in that fire, saw something very, very great and very holy. He saw in that Arishal Mashiach. But what he had to do was to join together the old generation and the new generation, that the new generation should become, that idealism should become inflamed with an idealism for not only for Ahavas Yisrael and Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, but for Ahavas HaTorah and Ahavas Hashem. And that the old generation should not only be inflamed with what? Ahavas Hashem. But they should be inflamed, and Ahavas HaTorah, but they should be inflamed with Ahavas Yisrael and Ahavas Eretz Yisrael to make a shidduch. But he saw in this the greatest thing. But the key is for the human intellect and the human will to connect to divine intellect and to the divine will, to the Ratzon Hashem. That's the key. Communism without God, socialism without God, it's not an Eitzah. Achdus, like I said before about the little 16-year-old, Achdus without Yerushalayim, it's kind of Eitzah, that there should be Achdus without Yerushalayim, that's not a healthy thing, Achdus without Yerushalayim. Hey, Mimatsimis, maximum ha'yicholos ha'sechlis of ha'ritzayim. Rav Kook's belief was that if we are able to connect to the makar ha'sechel v'ha'rotzen, to the root of all intellect, to the root of all will, of all rotzen, then we're able to bring out the maximum in terms of our own sichlius and our own ritzainus, and that they should be holy, and they should be pure, and they should be used in the right way. The Rav hikdish l'kach shnei mamor machayim be'ikvi hatzon, das alakim v'avaydus alakim. There are two other mamorim in this sefer of ikvi hatzon, from which this mamor hador is also one of the mamorim in ikvi hatzon. Now let's read inside Rav Kook. Back on page 32 on the bottom. Ha'idealim ha'yosin yisorim misroimim ad ein keitz. The highest ideals, ha'idealim ha'yosin yisorim, the most exalted ideals. Misraimim ad ein kates. Bemes de misraimim, they are flying, they are ascending. Ad ein kates. There's no end. Hashem is ein sof. Hashem is infinite. The root and source of everything that's idealistic within us is ein sof, is infinite, is infinite. We don't want to just be good. A Jew doesn't just want to be good. He wants ein sof to be good. Ein sof. A goodness that's ein sof. Ein sof. That's without end. There's a famous Torah that we learned around 7-8 years ago from Rav Kook in the Haggadah. And by Halach Manya, Rav Kook talks about Halach Manya. That's just a strange way to begin the Seder with Halach Manya. Bechlal, if it was from the time of Beis HaMikdash, then everybody had their chabur. They were already part of a chabur for the Korban Pesach. What are you inviting people and saying Halach Manya now? What are you saying Halach Manya? Called Dichvin, called Ditzach, what do you mean? Everybody's already here. What kind of an invitation are you extending? So the way Rav Kook speaks about it, I'm sure many of you remember, is of course to capture the emotions and the lashon of Kook, is the way he writes about Halach Manya, is that he says that for so many years, Am Yisrael, because of Golus and Mitzrayim, and the Golus that we've been in and forced to have to retreat into our little tiny hideouts, that because of that, The most basic need of a Jew to give was held back not because of, we wanted to hold back, but because of the realities of being enslaved to others. We weren't able to be the people that we really, really want to be. The essence of a Jew is to give and to do for someone else. Therefore, the way Rav Kook understood Halach Manya, It's not an invitation, because it's absurd to invite anybody at this point to the Korban Pesach, if it's from then, or to invite anybody to the Seder at this point. What kind of invitation is it? Even if you open the windows, what's Halach Manya? What's Halach Manya? But he says rather, Halach Manya is a scream, like an outcry of relief that I'm finally able to. I'm able to give. I'm able to do for somebody else. As a slave, all I do is think about myself. I'm just wrapped up in myself. Halach ma'anya kol dichven kol ditzich means that I'm free to give without restraint, to be the person that I want to be. It's not that I'm talking to somebody. It's just a scream that comes straight from the nefesh of a kiss of. I'm once again in a position in my life where I can do, where I can give, and therefore he just has to say, kol dichven kol ditzich, and then afterwards we'll work out the union of invitations for a different time. Mm-hmm. But it's the cry of that Jewish idealism, of the idealistic nekuda of yahadlis inside of a person to be able to give. It's the worst thing about a slave is that he can't do for anybody. He's just trying to manage himself. He can't do. Can't be the kind person that he would like to be, because he's just trying to survive. So after years and years of galus and just trying to survive, hashata hachal shana abav ardi Yisrael, the greatest gift that we could receive is the gift of ourselves, of our ability to be ourselves, to be allowed to be ourselves. That's the greatest thing in the world. And therefore, halach mani is just a natural, spontaneous outpouring. Of excitement over the fact that I'm not just a makabel anymore. I hate being a makabel, just to be a makabel. I'm able to be a nosein. I'm able to be a mashpia. I'm able to do for somebody. I'm able to give to someone. It doesn't mean just to be a little bit better. It's misraimad. Ain kates, manish. Ain kates. What a Jew is. Ain kates. Ad is amakum. She'ein ha'odam misasheshes. The true ideals of a Jew are so great, are so high, are so exalted, that they reach a place that ain't ha'odam misasheshes, that the eye of a person is dim, meaning you can't see with our eyes. You can't even see. It's dim. You can't see such a place. Ve'ein ha'dibur v'ha'higoyin shaylet sham, and words and thoughts can't articulate, can't imagine the idealism of what a Jew is, the great ideals of a Jew. She'ein ha'adam b'sashesh ve'ein ha'dibur he'goin sholet sham. Likro b'shem prati. There is no specific label you can give to such a thing. That's what I was saying before. The way halach ma'anya. It's like in these parashas now, that by the Malachas HaMishkan, once we were taken out and we were free to be ourselves, so that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do because we couldn't stop bringing things for the Mishkan. He says, all right, Chav, it's enough. And the boxes are full and everything's flowing over and Jews are dying. V'hoyse, Malachas called the Div Lev. Nesias Halev, Nedivas Halev of a Jew, the idealism of a Jew, the Kesav, the Zav, and the Choshes. Moshe Rabbeinu says, all right, enough, we can't, it doesn't stop. He had to forcibly stop us from giving. Because the truth is that a Jew's giving is ain't safe. The desire of a Jew is without end, is infinite, like the one who made us. So if we had to artificially hold back, we had to hold back from giving. Dayim v'haiser, more and more. It's so different from the characterization of a Jew and the Jewish people, which is a characterization of godless, which is stinginess and not giving. Not just the anti-Semites that are saying this, not giving and holding back. It's not true. Jews can't hold back from giving. That's the teva. The teva of a Jew is to be unable to hold back from giving. You can't stop giving. That's the teva of a Jew. And if we're not living that way, it's because we've been diminished for so long in Golas. We've been broken and crushed for so long in Golas. One of the chevra was telling me that he's involved with the public school system here in the county, and he was telling me that a yid came over to him, one of the yidin from the neighborhood. He didn't want to say his name, but a yid came over from the neighborhood. You know, there are quite a few from kids that are in public school. More than a million that are in the public school. I forget what it's called. You know, on Central Avenue, that big. Middle school, Lawrence, they're from kids in Hewlett also, but he's working with the ones in Lawrence. There are quite a few from kids, for whatever reason that they have to be there, either because there aren't enough resources to help them with their learning situation in the yeshivas, or because some of them they can't afford the yeshivas. So there was a yid that walked over. He says, a very, very poshut yid, you wouldn't know. And he walked over to him, he said to him like this, any kid that has to be in public school because of something with his learning, his studying, say that. But anybody who's here because of mominess, because of money, you don't have to tell me, just give me the bill from the yeshiva. And he took out a bunch of kids from this place, and he's paying, they don't know who he's paying for it, and he's paying for it just like this. Any kid who's in public school because of money, he says, you just tell me. He doesn't go into that. He doesn't make a drish for chakira. You don't have to show him proofs. He just, because he trusts this guy, he says, you just tell me if there's a kid here, how much he needs, and I'll take care of the yeshiva. Wow. Just like that. Well, just. He said, but a yid, it's ain't safe, halach ma'anyun. Nobody knows his name, nobody will ever know. Just like this. To do, to give, it's unbelievable. He doesn't let anybody say it. That's what he told me. No one's allowed to know this. He's already pulled out from Golas, a whole bunch of kids. And he says, what yeshiva doesn't make, he doesn't say it has to go to this yeshiva or that. No. Should be just in a yeshiva. Just a yeshiva. Didn't make any conditions. A yeshiva. Should be with Jews. That's all. That's a musag of tzedakah that a Jew has. Ain't safe. The good sky, the toiv, the idealism of a Jew is ain't safe. Therefore, ain't had to be shalat sham likro b'shem prati. You can't give a label to it. You can't. There's no word. There's no shem prati. There's no name. There's no word to describe. Oysa hamakam sham ef shalamod kim be'or ha'emes hamochlata. That place is a place where Yev Shalamud, Kiim Beor HaEmes HaMuchlata. When you come to that place, you're standing in the light of absolute truth, of what a Jew is, of the absolute truth of what a Jew is. Ve'ein shum derech eich lahashpil ulesamein b'shum erech mugbar. There's no way to lower this and to try to designate it with a certain limited, with a certain value, or to place a value on it, to categorize it. Ain't shum derech eich lahashpil, to lower, ulesamein, to make a simon, to designate, to b'shum erech mugbal, with any erech mugbal, with any limited value, any specific value. Al kain yikari be'emes shem ha'hisremus ha'gmura ha'misnases ade'ad. The only way we could refer to this idealism, to this unbelievable hisremus, to the exaltedness ha'misnases that ascends ade'ad, ad-de-ad, higher and higher forever and ever. There's only one. The only way that we could talk about it is Ratzon Hashem, Bavedis Hashem, as he says. Everybody's thinking, boy, Rav Kook, he had complete control of all Lashon HaKodesh. There's no person that could be, and since the Nevi'im who have such Hebrew like Rav Kook, there's not. And we're all expecting him to come up with some new thing, because he knows how to use all kinds of fancy words. And all he says at the end is Ratzon Hashem, Bavedis Hashem. Right? Everybody's thinking, I could have done better than that. He does that very often. After he says, after a few pages where nobody can understand what he's talking about, then he says, and all of this is, you know what this is? Ratzon Hashem. Avodas Hashem. That's what he says. Because he's telling us that no word, there's nothing that could, you can't put a label on this, what it means, what it means a Jew, and what Am Yisrael is. When their Ritzonus and when their will and their way of life is aligned with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the will is called Ratzon Hashem. And their way of life is called Avodas Hashem. And we shouldn't take those terms for granted. They're thrown around a lot. Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. When a person wants what God wants, you know what that is? To want what God wants is a very big thing. To want what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, and to do what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does. That's called Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. He says that we can't. So therefore, Davka goes away from using any fancy words. That's nothing fancy. Because there are no words. Usually, Rav Kook tries to capture something in his remarkable way, to capture something with some mechudishdika way of using Lashon HaKodesh. But at the end of this whole unbelievable paragraph, he says, there's no words, it's just Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. That's what it is. Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. Look at the little note there on the side, on the bottom. His Sarabimus HaGemura. In Kol Ratzon Shel Adam Limtzai says, Kerechas HaRatzon V'Machshav HaShabal. When a person tries to squeeze out from himself, mamish, to get to the core of the rotzen, kachas rotzen, v'machshava shabo, kachas rotzen, his will, his machshava, hayidei his reimus lamakor harotzen v'asechel, by lifting himself up to the makor, to the source of rotzen v'asechel, not what I want and what I think, but what God wants and what God thinks, and I'm trying to be in that place of what Hashem Baruch Hu wants. Or what Hashem Baruch thinks. What does Hashem Baruch want? What does Hashem Baruch think? That's what it means to align oneself with that. What does Hashem Baruch want? You know how many times we could be in a situation, I've spoken with this many times over the years, where you could find some sort of a tight, halachic way of trying to squeeze yourself through a situation, but if you stop and you ask yourself, what does the Rebbe Shalom want? Is this what Hashem Baruch wants? And you have some... Over the years, you have gained some familiarity with the Ratzon Hashem, living the life of an Eilech Yid. So then, it could be that halachically you could somehow pull it off, you know, if you find enough Rishonim to misquote or to pull out of context oh, it's the reason that I'm able to go to this kind of a place is because there's a balamor, you know, there's a balamor that seems to hold. You could do that. The balamor himself writes in his Hagdoma how that's the way of Teresh Papa, is that if you're looking for something, you can take whatever you want. But if you're not honest, it's very dangerous. But when a person stops and asks himself, does Hashem really want this? Is this the Ratzon Hashem? Is it my Ratzon? I'm simply trying to attach it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Baal HaMor. And in order to attach it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to make an excuse and say, well, I think that's the Baal HaMor. Or am I really, really trying to understand what's the Ratzon Hashem? How am I to be an Eved Hashem? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to think, to feel? Not that I want something and I feel something and I have to make sure that God agrees with me. That's what we learned many times. The Ishbitzah says that Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim was that the Avodah Zarah was that they worshipped its own sheep. That was the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the sheep is an animal. The Ishbitzah says that it does whatever it always follows. So they wanted to have a God that always follows what you want. That's what the Ishbitzah says. It's a very deep talk. Why do they worship? What kind of a strange thing is that to worship a Shapsala? That's an animal you have to worship. They're bigger animals, Mochashala, Behemoth. Why that animal? So the Ishbitzah said, because that animal, its nature is to follow. And the world, the Ishbitzah said, the world wants a God that will always follow what I want. Wants to worship something that worships me and that follows me. That will always listen to me. That the God should listen to me, not that I should listen to God. That's what it means. That's the Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim. And when we shechted that, in the Inyan of Shabbos Hagadol, we shechted that, to shech that way of thinking, that idolatrous way of thinking. That's the source of materialism. A materialistic person can be a believer in God, but it's the God that he fashioned with his own two hands. It's an Egel Hazav. They believed in God, they believed in the golden calf that they made with their own hands. So, the materialistic person wants to believe in a God that he made with his own hands. You know, there's a God that he designed, a God that he made, a God that fits his lifestyle, that a God that will align himself with my Ratzon, with my way of thinking. My Ratzon is to be able to do this, whatever it is. That's my Ratzon. And I have to create a God that will confirm my ruts. That's Avodah Zarah. That's materialism. That's idolatry. Idealism, Bikdusha, is when I want to understand what Hashem's Ratzon is. I want to be able to align myself with his Ratzon and to ascend to that place of Hashem's Ratzon, which is Ein Sof, which is infinite. Avodah Zarah is just the opposite. Avodah Zarah is when something descends from a higher place and it comes into something which is finite, something which is physical. It's the opposite. Avodah Zarah is the opposite. Materialism is the opposite. It takes an idea and makes it into something physical. Idealism takes something physical and makes it into an idea. And traces itself back to the idea. That's the difference between those two worlds. So when a person does this, and he tries to lift himself up to the Makar HaRatzon V'Asef, we're just reading the note there on the bottom of 33. Hayu Megi L'Maskana. When a person does that, then he reaches the conclusion. Sheyeshnam gavim, asher einem nitonim lebitu enoshi sechli. There are certain heights, there are certain levels, there are heights that cannot find expression with human words or with thoughts. They can't be expressed. Lebitu enoshi sechli. The human intellect hasn't found, the human mind hasn't found ways of expressing certain things. Gam hamugbolos, and also the limitations, shel hayosai prat echad, that he's one individual, hachai b'tkufa mesuyemes, an individual person who's living his 120 years in history, his 120 years of Hashem's Baruch's world, he has his tkufa. He's an individual, and he's living at a very specific time, a specific person who's living during a specific period of time. Choderes lakarosa. Choderes means that penetrates, of course, to his to his understanding, to his way of thinking, that he's very, very limited. That a human being, by definition, is limited as a prat and as a particular piece of time. And when and a person who is living that life as a prat, as an individual, it's very hard for him to see things in a bigger way, in a broader way. But the greatness of the idealist is that even though he is a prat and he's living in a particular time and a particular place, But a true idealist has a tremendous ishtoikikus to rise higher, to transcend his own particular life and his own particular tkufa, his own time that he's in. And he wants lihi kolel baharmonia kula. He wants to be swept up in the whole thing. Not just my time. And there was some person that I was talking to last week, and he was giving this. It was a whole critique of he was saying things. It was a whole critique of Chassidus and the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbi Nachman, all kinds of things he was saying. And this is, and you know, he wanted to offer his opinion to me.
Maybe he was in a snagger.
Could be. He was a misnagging. I don't want to give him so much credit. So he gave me a whole thing because he thought that I guess he felt that would make it for an interesting argument with me. And I just said to him, I was thinking about the B'ditzvah and Maisa. I said to him, that's not my way of thinking. You know. And so I just thought I wasn't going to get into polemics with him, because I saw he was very angry and he was all upset about the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know what upset him about. So I just said to him that, okay, that's your way. Maybe, you know, if you think that the people that the Jews that are righteous people that don't necessarily agree with that and see things in the other way. You remember the Maisa with the Bidichu? That's what I was referring to just now. That there was a Yid, there was a Maskil. In those days, the Maskilim, a lot of them knew how to learn. They weren't like now non-religious people. They were Maskilim, and many of them kept some mitzvahs and things. They knew how to learn. And there was this Maskil that apparently was a genius. And his entertainment was going from one Rav to another Rav, getting involved in arguments, like to try to slug up Talmidei Chacham, because he was very, very, very sharp. So he liked doing this. And he heard about the Rebbe Yitzchak Berditchev. He was brilliant, and he was a tzaddik, and that was his next project, to get the Berditchev, to shlug up the Berditchev. So he, you know, he came to Berditchev, and when he came into the Berditchev, the Berditchev was Kedarko was running back and forth. He was like in the room. He was running back and forth, like, you know. That's how he was always like that. He was running, and this person never met the Bidichu. The Bidichu never met him. He just came in there for whatever. And the Bidichu was running back and forth, and this Yid was watching him. He never saw such a person. And then the Bidichu ran over to him and grabbed him, was holding on to him, and said, "Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong." It says that the person, Mamish, broke down. Start to cry, and it doesn't say who is it. It says that the Rebbe was Machshir Mitzvah, who became one of the big Talmidim. It says maybe you're wrong. Never thought of that. You know how many things that we do? And if the B'ditch would come over and would just grab us and say, maybe that's wrong. So what would you say? Show me inside. This guy was smarter than us, this Maskil. He said, Where does it say that? Prove it to me that I'm wrong. No, if you see the Berditchev, and he comes over and says, maybe you're wrong. But where that was coming from was a very deep place. And when he met the Berditchev, he saw emes muchlat, he saw absolute truth in the person, something was shining from the absolute truth. And when you meet up with that absolute truth and it asks you that question, that's what's going to happen after 120 when we die. Maybe you were wrong. You know all those speeches you gave about how this is how you're doing it? Maybe you were wrong. Maybe you were wrong. Maybe you didn't try to align yourself with the Ratzon Hashem. Maybe you maybe you tried to bring God down into your ratzon, to make a little egel hazov of your life. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're wrong. It's a hard thing to consider. For most people, it's a very hard thing to consider. Maybe you're wrong. You have to be a very, very, very humble person to be able to even think of that. But the idealist is mishtekek liyikol b'harmonia kula. He wants to rise higher than his own separate persona and his own separate time and place. His own separate time and place. There was a rabbi that came over to me once last year, and he was saying, "You have to yell at the boys more about that they don't have Yosh Shamayim and that they don't have, you know." He was upset. He wanted more like Musa type, and I just said to him that that's your way of doing it. I don't do it that way. And he said, "This is the way to do it." I said, "That's your way of doing it. That's your way of doing it." I want to say to him, if you'd be a real Baal Musa, he would consider the possibility that there are other ways. But because you're such a Baal Gaiva, with all your Musa, you cannot even be able to consider the possibility. There's something else that's also part of God's Torah. He says to me, this is not how the Messiah is. This is the Messiah is. The Messiah is to beat people up and to... the Yosham. I said, that's your way. There are other ways. That's not the only way. So upset at me. That's all I said. I said, that's not the only way. There are other ways to do that. We have the same thing. We'd like every Jew in the world to keep mitzvahs and so on. We agree on that, but there are other ways to do that. Who says it's your way? Who says that that's the only way? This is the way that we learn. This is how we. I said, that's how you learn. That's how you learn. I learned that way. He got so upset with me. I said, that's not the only way. But we get, even in trying to do good things, it's so easy to get just stuck in a very tiny little place. There are other ways of doing things. I'm saying in Kedusha, I'm not talking about God forbid without mitzvahs. In Kedusha, there are other ways of doing things. The Moroccans sit up the whole Friday night singing zmiris, They like to do that. That's not a good thing. I don't know. It's not my way. I'd rather learn a little bit after, sing a couple of zmiris, learn a little bit and to sleep for a few hours. You can get Moroccans, they're barely shomer mitzvahs, but they have an Indian, they have a Messiah. Many of them, they'll sit up and sing zmiris like for 3-4 hours on a Friday night. Unbelievable. That's their avodah. They received it from very holy people. So that's their way. It's a very beautiful thing. Hashem's Baruch loves, Jews have these things to give him. Each one, there's kesef, there's zohar, there's nechoshes, there's the tchelis, there's the argaman. Everybody comes with their own presence, with their own gifts. But it gets to try to see that there's in the other way, there's something very great. And to become part of that, the kolal, in that bigger picture than the smallness of myself. That's the trademark of the idealist. Because we often associate, because of idealists that we've seen, that they have a one-track mind. They're Indian. But that's not the idealist that Cook is talking about. Just everything is my ideal. It's also not an idealist. That's also not an idealistic person. It's his. If it is only his Indian, the true idealistic person is the one who is trying to come to a place of Ratzon Hashem, of Makar, of the Makar, Ratzon Hashem, Ratzon Hashem. The Makar HaRatzon, Makar HaSeichel is Hashem's plan, and Hashem is very, very, very big. In Hashem's way of thinking, there's room for Moroccans and for Litvaks and for Chassidim and for all. And Hashem's world is very, very big. And the Makar HaRatzon, these ways of serving God, they all have a place in Hashem's mind, in Hashem's heart. Hashem's world is very, 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 he's infinite, he's ain't safe. Why do you think that God has to be Davka Chassid? Why do you think God has to be Davka Zilubavitcher? Why do you think God is Davka Litvak? Or is Davka Svaradi or Temani? He's all of those things. It's ain't safe. It's ain't safe. As long as one follows Shulchan Aruch. It's ain't safe. It's infinite. Infinite. He has room for everything. Infinite. And when a person comes to that place, then he doesn't have to say, this is my, I can't be with you. It's an entirely different world. So Rav Kook saw in the young generation a powerful, powerful urge to break down the walls and barriers between Jews. He saw them in them a powerful urge to do that. And at the same time, there were Jews coming from all over the world to Eretz Yisrael. It was just beginning. My father told me that in Europe, he saw one Svardi before the war. He met, there was a Svardi that came from Eretz Yisrael, and the Rav, and the Rav, they said that everybody should come to Shul and to see him. And they all came, and everybody was going over to him. And they were in the spoil, he speaks Lashon HaKodesh. My father said everybody was going to like look at him and to see and to talk to him. There was one time the Svardi came. There was like some Shulah came from Eretz Yisrael. And they were all like, could walk down the main street. It would have been like a parade or something. They never saw such a thing. Svardi Shehid. And that's how we lived in Galus. All of a sudden, Eretz Yisrael, coming from all over, Abba Kanfis Aretz, Amcha Beis Yisrael, all different minhagim and all different accents and all different personalities and senses of humor and all different ways of dressing and so on. Everybody's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, coming to Yerushalayim, to be able to make that into a reality. Of a harmonious reality is, of course, a tremendous, 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 tremendous undertaking. It hasn't succeeded yet. With all the years since coming back, because each one brought with him a certain way from Golos that said, "This is the way. I have my way. It's not another way. This is the way." Not to be able to see the other person, or the other person, and to be able to feel that there's something very deep and very beautiful in that person's Avodas Hashem. So he says, back inside the text on 33, Omnam, in the middle of the page, Rak achreya hisnasus hamachshavus v'ha'ideelis, only after this ascent, this hisnasus, this rising up in what? In machshav, in our way of thinking, and in our idealism, right? Rak achreya hisnasus hamachshavus v'ha'ideelis ha'protis, the individual, each individual, ad mokim shiyodam agaz, each person, to be able to rise above himself to whatever place he's able to ascend, as much as he could do. V'achrei hatsiurim ha'ashirim ha'pratim, only after all of the richness of all of the individual ways of seeing things, as I was just describing a minute ago, there's something very rich and beautiful about how these Jews develop in a certain way, and there's a certain beauty and a richness, a wealth, and a beauty to those, tziurim ha'ashirim ha'pratim. V'achrei tziurim ha'ashirim ha'pratim b'rayon v'po'al. B'rayon meaning in the idea, v'po'al means in practical reality. V'achrei ha'vchona ha'gemur shekol rom u'misnasei b'tziur. Yesh lo tachlis v'kitzpa. And once also on the one hand, a tremendous idealism to try to rise above, higher, gathering up all of the tziurim ha'ashirim ha'pratim, all the wealth that we've accumulated, individual wealth as individual Jews and kehilos and communities and so on. And after coming to the recognition that what? After acknowledging and admitting, and after recognizing that no matter how great your individual way of thinking is, no matter how great your particular way of living is, yeshul tachlis v'kitzpa. It has a tachlis and a kitzpa, meaning tachlis, it doesn't mean a purpose. Tachlis means it has a self. Tachlis v'kitzpa means it has an end. It's limited. With all of the richness of your way of thinking, and all of the richness of your way of feeling, and your way of expression, and thinking, and wanting, all of that, and with everything you've tried to ascend to the highest, highest place of what? Of Ratzon Hashem that comes from the Makor, that's from the Makor HaElyon, you're able to admit that all that I could do in that respect, Yeshul Tachs V'Kitzpah. Sof kol sof, it has a sof. I'm limited. But in the depths of the human soul, Yesh ariga, there's a longing, a yearning. Lamashu lamala mikol tachlis, for that which is higher than anything that has an end. The elyon mikol kitzpa, and that is elyon, that is higher, superior, higher than mikol kitzpa. Anything that is limited, or anything that could be defined in a specific way. Achrei ha'akara ha'gemura. Only after there's a complete recognition and understanding. He called po'al toiv nizrahu b'chayi ha'klal. That any positive good thing that's planted b'chayi ha'klal, that's planted in the life of the klal, of the people of the community, page 34. Any tiny little good thing. Ulchol dor v'dor yesh chelek echad. And every generation has a chelek. Meaning revavus ain't kates. From infinite. Seeds that are planted. And every single one is good, and every single one is important. L'chol dor v'dor yesh chelek echad, mini revavus ein keitz la'alos l'nisroim. Every generation has its own chelek in planting something in the tzur of Klal Yisrael. La'alos l'nisroim, with the purpose of ascending l'nisroim. Aval ha'aliyah, however, ha'hisroim was hagmura ha'idielis. However, that ultimate hisroim was the absolute ascent. One has to know that that's only in the Oitzer Chaim, in the treasure of life. And that place of the Toivah Elyon, of God's goodness, which is bilti mugbal mishor, which is without any gvulim, without any end, it can't be measured. Gam kol toiv kal v'katan, but every tiny little bit of tov, every tov kal v'katan, any little good thing, misachtim umisarginim imachefetz eloki, joins together and becomes part of that seder of the chefetz eloki, of God's infinite will. Even the tiniest little good word, thought, and action, with the recognition that it's only a tiny piece of Am Yisrael in this generation, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, but at the same time to recognize that I'm also part of the infinite, that my contribution of this particular way of thinking, of doing, of acting, my contribution is part of that which is infinite. Misachtim and misarginim im hachefetz eloki hashalom betachlis. All becomes connected to, and part of that arrangement of the chefetz eloki hashalom betachlis. Oz, I don't have time. We'll stop here. But then Rav Kook goes on to explain that when a person thinks this way, then he says chaim ha'maisim charusim uchrachim hamlisvayim. Then we'll see that when people are going out to work. When people are going to work on a farm, they're not going to think, I can't believe this, I'm doing such a stupid thing, I'm staying there all day. When a person is trying to help, he has a job at the bank and he has to deal with money, he doesn't look at it as being some kind of as an embarrassing descent from sitting in the Bissat Medrash. Everything, every tiny little thing is all part of that Oitzer Chaim, of the Oitzer Chaim of God's will, of Chayv Tzolukim, as long as one aligns oneself to the absolute will of Hashem and uses this as an opportunity to serve Hashem and to do Hashem's will, then there's nothing that's small. There's nothing that's silly. There's nothing that's insignificant. Like that, like the story that I've told many times about the little guy that was sweeping the streets in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Levine made such a big deal about him. Rabbi Levine, he was embarrassed. He put the broom behind his back when he saw Rabbi. It was early in the morning. He was sweeping there. Rabbi was on the way to he was in the old city on the way to the Kaisel, and he, this Yid was embarrassed, And if I said to him, "Yishna mamish makani," I'm so jealous of you. He said, "Well," he says, you have an opportunity. You know what you're doing. You're Isaac in making Yushalayim, which is klilas yoifi mesayis kol ha'aris. You have an opportunity to make Yushalayim more beautiful. Do you know what that is? I'm so makani." And he says that all of a sudden, this Yid said he was a little. He said, "All of a sudden, I looked at my broom as being like the Shavit Hazahav of Achashverosh. You know? I was embarrassed of my broom, and all of a sudden, I looked at it as being like a pair of tefillin." It's a different way. Rabbi Levine was in that place. He didn't say that because he thought he wanted to be makar of somebody, and he can go back to his boss and say, "I got somebody to be Shem HaShabbos." It's he saw a Jew in such a way. He saw everybody. He saw as all part of this avoid of Melechus Shemayim. He was idealistic. And even though that Jew wasn't thinking about doing that, when he was sweeping, he was just thinking, "I got a lousy job." Mm-hmm. But Rabbi was saying, that's not the inner pnimi is the gairin ha-pnimi, is that you're a Jew that's making Yerushalayim beautiful. You know what that is? To make Yerushalayim beautiful. It's the most beautiful place in the world.
No, just Rabbi was talking about the kibbutz galus and Eretz Yisrael, so there's an interesting halachic thing that a woman in Ishkatif was describing her family and her seder and how there's Ethiopian and this and all different kinds of people all marrying each other, and how in halacha it could be very complicated if everyone just following the husband's minhag from his kibbutz galus to sit together. So her rav is from, she's from Ishkatif initially, so of course it's from the whole rav of Sabra. She told me that there's like a discussion about trying to create a minhag Eretz Yisrael instead of everyone taking their own minhag from whatever country. Let's say, just to use one example, I'm not saying it's just because I want to have sushi on Pesach, but I'm saying, let's say Kitnius or something like that, right? Instead of saying that I'm going to take my minhag from where my place and bring it, since everyone's married, and merging into this rainbow that Rebbe's talking about, to try to develop an halacha of like a minhag Eretz Yisrael, just because practically it's, you know,
everything. I don't agree with that rule. Personally, I don't agree with that rule. That's what they tried to make in Israel, a nusach achid, right? A nusach, he's in the army, somebody gets a daven for the army. So he davens this, he davens that. So they tried to make a nusach that should be like one. I don't believe that that's the Rosh Hashanah.
Yerushalmi minute.
I don't believe it. That's not you. What, Yerushalmi have
the 1 minute for the whole
the old city. It's a party. The old city, Ramban.
They have it local.
Oh, in the Ramban shul then. Yeah. There is such a mahal.
It's not a separate minute. It's whoever goes up is a minute.
Okay, that's something else. You can do that in the shul because if somebody goes up to. That's like the Rabban shul. In the Rabban shul, whoever goes up to the Amad Davins, whatever they want.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. At any minion, anybody. Whoever goes up to Davins.
The main shul.
Yes.
Wow.
It's been that way for.
I never thought.
Shibboleth and Katamon, they have that too.
That whoever goes up to the Omer,
they call it dealer's choice.
But they didn't make a new. they didn't make a new nusach.
Right.
No.
There were people who tried to make what's called nusach achid. They wanted to make everybody should daven one nusach. You say something else. I mean, everybody he goes up and he says, "I daven like this," and they say, "Go ahead, go on, I daven like that." That's something else.
One fellow that they say they have to say aleinu with together, even though certain things have to be together.
Oh, they want
aleinu even though
should say together. Okay, it's Mashiach.
You know, locally, they have Yerushalmi Minyan. You know, it's like a Shalimut, call it Yerushalmi Minyan.